And we are live.
Now, I suppose you all know how ordinary television works. You photograph
something. Sure, I do. You photograph something, then the photograph is split up into millions of tiny pieces, and they go whizzing through the air down to your TV set where they're all put together again in the right order.
I
have to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
I want my...
What do you think life's all about?
I want my TV.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to Mike TV, episode 65. Recorded on August 8th, 2021. We are your Mike TV hosts, Lisa and Dean. Hello, Dean. Happy August. How are you?
Hey, Lisa. Just burnt my tongue. My coffee hadn't cooled as much as I thought it was. So I like to talk about good some of the time.
Happy back to school, Dean.
Oh, yeah. I love it. So happy to be back at school.
Well, you're drinking coffee on a Sunday night. This has got to be, This has got to mean something.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm just sure we're all going to catch the Delta Lambda Omega virus in the next 2 weeks or so. So it is what it is.
Probably.
But,
probably.
I got my shot. So hopefully I won't, even if I get sick, I won't get very sick. So that's all I care about.
Yeah. Well, don't even get me started. Hey, we have a lot of TV to talk about.
Oh, I thought we were doing Vax Talk tonight. We're not doing our COVID special.
You know what? I'm officially on the record, and I'm sorry for any... Seriously, it's a serious subject because I do know people who are being affected by COVID, but I don't want to be a downer. But I also don't want to be... I don't want to blow it off and seem like I'm blowing it off by saying I'm bored with COVID.
I'm over it. 100%. 100%.
What is it on hyperdrive? Hype it or wipe it? This is a wipe it.
Wipe it.
This is out.
100%.
Well, anyway, we're here. We're Mike TV, after all. And we are so thankful for Radio Labyrinth for allowing us to come into your feed. And we are also so thankful, so over the moon happy with our new producer. Special shout out, huge thank you to Roby Neely for producing our episodes so beautifully. That last Loki variant supersized episode was just the best one ever. So, I mean, Roby, just hands off to you. I mean, you just hats off to you, rather. You're just doing an amazing job. We appreciate it. For those who don't know, please follow Roby on Twitter at Remotes1.
He's got like 28 Twitter. If you the star of the day or gold star of the day,
hit him up on Remotes One. You'll find the others. He'll let him know you found him through Mike TV. Please tell him he's doing a fantastic job editing our episodes, inserting clips, sound clips, commercials. Oh, I'm loving the commercials. I was calling them parody commercials. I want to stand corrected. They are real commercials. He is finding vintage commercials, and they are so fun. What have you thought? What are your thoughts, Dean? I know he's already been working for you, so.
Oh, yeah. I spoke to Roby the other day, and it made me feel bad when he told me how long he works on a podcast much versus how much I spend time on a podcast. So,
I want to say to Roby, because I know he watches Walking Dead. I watch Walking Dead. And, Dean, if you're not going to get caught up on Walking Dead, perhaps Roby would like to be
a special guest.
Well, hold on now. Perhaps Roby would like to be a special guest. It is the final season of Walking Dead. We could do like a little Walking Dead segment. We're not going to be able to record every week. We just haven't been able to get back to that point yet. But Walking Dead does come back August 22nd. I'm on vacation leading right up to that. It is the final season. Rick is not back yet. But I think there is definitely, they're doing a 24 episode supersized final season. They're going to break, as predicted, they're breaking it up into 3 arcs of 8. The first 8 to air this fall, beginning August 22nd, and then the second 2 arcs in 22.
So, are they going to do like January and then like late spring, or do you think they'll do winter, spring, and then fall?
unconfirmed, but if I my hunch is the final eight will be in the
next fall.
Fall of 2022. Yeah, yeah. Most likely like around Halloween. Why not? Wouldn't that make sense to kind of come out around like Stranger Things?
Yeah, and AMC is, I mean, that, you know, we know for years they will stretch the hell out of some final seasons. So speaking of AMC, did you have a heart attack when you found out that Bobby O had a heart attack last week?
Oh, I was so scared because
me too.
Luke Perry, of course, went in a direction that was horrible. And I thought, oh, no. No, Bob Odenkirk. When you say Bobby O, let's just clarify. We yeah, know Bob him as Bobby O, of course. We, you know, he's in my phone as Bobby
O. Yeah, he's our buddy. Yeah, our buddy Bobby O.
Bob Odenkirk, get well soon. Best wishes. Thank God he's okay. We've got to have that final season of Better Call Saul.
Hey, he's dying, but he's going to get better. Yeah. He's going to get better.
You know, he's going
to Now he's going to have triples of the Nova after this. So...
This is his key to maybe take a break, though, right?
Well, as long as they finish Better Call Saul and then you can take a break.
Yeah, just of course.
You got a few more episodes to go, man. You got it. You can do this.
I mean, God, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be morbid, but he's got to make it past plays Mike Ehrmantraut.
Yeah, he's going to. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. All right. Speaking of AMC, okay, so I want to just say Walking Dead. I don't know, Dean, you tease and hint that you're going to get caught up and that you're mildly interested.
I need to get caught up? Do you think I could just kind of jump in?
No, I think season 10 is worth your time. It's so good.
That last season?
Yes, and I believe they have recently
I could just jump into season 10? Like, I can just read on the internet to find out what happened up until then.
You won't need to. Just start in season 10. You'll be good.
Is 10 the whole Whisper Wars? Or is this after that? After the
No.
Okay.
It is the Whisper.
And the Whisper Wars happened after the jump?
Yes.
Or is the jump... Okay. So it is like 5 years in the future or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
like Judith's 6 or 7. Old, yeah. They had years of peace.
Okay.
Before the Whispers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the trash people, as shitty as they were, and I don't want to make this a Walking Dead podcast, but the trash people kind of led us to understand how these kind of cult groups could be.
Do we ever get developed. To find out anything about them, or is that all supposedly still saved for the Rick movie? Like, we never find out where the helicopter comes from. We never find out what, like, who she was talking to, like that group, whatever the group
there's
is.
There's a little bit of the trash people. So, not in the season 10. No, there was supposed to be more in the movies, I guess, with the A and the B, the way they were calling some people A's and some people B's. I don't even know if it got developed as that.
I checked out after Rick left. That was the last episode I think I watched, whatever that season was.
So she, Jadis or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
God, whatever. Why you want to get me on Walking Dead? She imprisons Gabriel and is calling him an A or calling him a B. And then he fights back and she changes her mind and calls him an A. And she's calling the helicopter to come get him, you know, saying, forget it. I thought I had a B, then I have an A. And then whatever. And then he gets away. And then she finds Rick washed up on shore as the helicopter's coming. And she's
I've got a B or whatever.
Right. So there is something connected, but it's not completely revealed. Yeah, whatever. Sorry, everybody who doesn't care.
Hey, did The Walking Dead Kids ever come out?
They did. I didn't watch it.
Oh, no.
And spoiler alert, I'm pretty much noped out on Fear of the Walking Dead, too. That show can go fuck itself, man. I'm so mad at it for sucking so bad. They killed off John Dory is the only reason for watching that show. So, anyway, speaking of AMC, though, a great show that I wish you could watch. I hope you watch it someday. Gonna have to get AMC Plus, I guess. And that's Kevin Can Fuck Himself. I've been talking about it.
It's about a woman who keeps playing perfect housewife.
Hey, where's our breakfast? You're not supposed to have favorites.
Kevin's my husband.
Yeah. Babe, can you go see if my package is here yet?
Can't you do it?
I'm in the middle of something.
Then one day, she realizes what she wants. It has to stop.
Can't stop greatness.
I know how to make both our lives easier.
We are insane, but you're not alone.
Things are gonna change.
I don't know if it's coming back for a second season or not. I sure hope it does. They certainly left the door open for it with the way season one ended, but it was an 8-episode season one. It was delightful. Absolutely wonderful. Such a cool concept, just in this two stylized shows kind of being smashed together and telling one story. I absolutely loved it. And I don't want to spoil it because there is a lot of like, there's a lot of moments in this show and some are made for laughs and some fall short in the laughs department, but some are actually quite good.
Would you say better or worse than Made for Love?
Well, I loved Made for Love, you know, so okay. That's hard to compare. I would certainly put it on, maybe I liked Made for Love a slight bit better, but they're very just different.
They sound different, but they also sound like they have like similar themes with the wife and the husband concept of like how especially kind of the wife growing away from the husband and finding her own strength.
And I guess this is not really a spoiler, but she straight up wants to kill her husband and she's okay. plotting to kill
well
him.
I mean, Made for Love, I guess she could be maybe toward that too, but
anyway, but I hear speaking of a great show, Dean, I think you have some news to tell me that you finally watched something that I've been nagging you. Oh, yes.
Not only did I just try something you told... Well, actually, that's not true. This summer, I tried Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
I went back to it again. Still just can't get over the constant... if they didn't say the words Rick and Morty so many damn times in every episode, I think I could watch it, but... Ugh. But I did go and find Mr. In Between on FX.
Yes!
Right. How many people, if you had to guess, how many people would you say that you've assaulted?
Heaps.
Now, how do you feel about that?
Fine, had it coming, so.
I watched the entire 3 seasons in about a week.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so good.
And I really liked it. I really liked it. There were some, it was weird because there are a lot of things I had not even issues with in the sense of that I didn't like about it, but there were a lot of things I felt missing from it. Yet that actor, Scott Ryan, right, is the Mr. Yes. In Between. His performance and just his personality, I there were so many issues to me with the story, with things here and there, but I could just watch him put that creepy, almost Willem Dafoe smile. In fact, actually, like he looks like Willem Dafoe almost every other episode with that smile. You know, he puts that creepy smile on, and you realize he's about to beat the shit out of somebody or go off on somebody. And he's so just, I mean, magnetic. His personality and it was very similar. My feeling to this was how I felt when I watched Dexter. You know, way back when, and then I loved the ending because I felt they did the Dexter ending so much better than they did with Dexter. You know, and speaking of which is coming back soon,
and a show I famously have not watched.
Oh, okay, well then
no,
and I don't have Showtime, so I'm probably not ever going to watch it. Yeah,
nah.
But they did the ending where you know he kind of just moves on with his life, just so much better in this. And I love how they do the hint at the end that he's still just himself, but. Yeah, Scott Ryan was fantastic. I have not yet gone back and listened to Steph's interview with him on Radio Labyrinth. I plan to do that soon. I've been holding off because I wanted to watch it first because you told me there were maybe some spoilers and stuff in it. I really loved the whole – although this sometimes drove me nuts about the story, I actually liked that there was a lot of just like – it was so episodic in the sense of sometimes there were just such huge gaps of story missing. But it never really kind of made a problem with it. In fact, even when you jump into the whole show, you just start off in this guy's life, you know, like you never find out really about his past. There's always little hints here and there, but you never really find out anything. I kept waiting if we were going to see a flashback of him. I really wanted to find out what his actual military experiences was, what he was in jail for in the past, you know, all these different things. And you never really find that out about him. You just kind of see little glimpses here and there, but they never go back and really say anything about like a lot of his past.
Kind of got the feeling he's been in and out of jail a lot with that season jail scene where it was just commonplace. And he knew somebody at the guards who were like, welcome back, Ray.
Yeah.
So and jail in Australia, that. Very different than jail in America. Different. But same.
I I really liked his relationship with Gary, and Gary I love that he stuck through the whole show. Like Gary, he was fantastic because he was such a mess. The first episode of making him that through line with the PP videos throughout the whole, like, I mean, they stretched that almost through the third season. And
he straight on became a porn director in the third season.
Well, but I think even the third season, they finally is when his wife leaves him, and he finally even goes and tells him, like, it wasn't my videos. It was Gary's videos. Yeah. Yeah. But I just love the PP videos are always, is this the PP man? He's the PP guy. Yeah. Oh, it was great. I mean, very tense, very, emotional at some points. I really like the very end of it, as far as, like I said, the last scene where he's the cab driver living by himself.
I thought it was going to go a bit Twin Peaks there at the end where he's just driving and driving. Did you ever see Twin Peaks, The Return, the final season? Yeah, so, you know, the very last episode where they're just driving and driving for fucking ever. That's what I thought this was turning into.
No, I got this feeling as soon as those guys started messing with them, like this was going to end with him either doing exactly what happened, where he kind of gives the wink to the camera, or we were going to see the flat out, like he was just going to screw him over. You know,
I loved the end. I loved it. Yes. I kept waiting.
Here's what I didn't like. I did not care for the ending story arc. I thought the whole where he like falls in love with that random woman that he's on the trip with at the end. That woman annoyed the shit out of me. I didn't like her at all. I hated that actress. Hated her.
I didn't like her at first. I wanted a better explanation of why she was along for the ride to begin with. What was
just so he? About? I think it was so she was like, you know, it's kind of if you've ever seen like that silly movie like Meet the Millers. It's just like so he has a wife with him, so it's just less conspicuous.
Yeah,
that kind of
that's
thing.
What I figured. So,
yeah, a man and a woman are less conspicuous than a man by himself. I think that's all it was. But she was annoying. She gave me like full on 90s Selma Blair vibes. I don't know if you know that actress.
Of course.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, a Selma Blair fan.
Especially because she had the Selma Blair bangs haircut like from 1998. And she was just annoying. And I didn't like how I kept wanting that nurse to always come back because they always went so well together in the first season.
Allie? Well, she got married.
Oh, I know. But until then, I always wanted her to come back in the picture. I didn't
want him to be with any woman. He was not relationship material.
And I didn't care for the turn that the daughter made in the last season, like her just all of a sudden becoming like druggy, like bitch. Like
the difference, Dean, is you watched it all in a row. We fans of this show watched it with a couple years in between.
Yeah, and maybe
season.
That's it.
So the daughter grew up, so they had to turn her into a prepubescent kind of bratty girl. I thought they did a great job of the portrayal. I mean, your daughters are not quite that age, but guess what?
It's coming. I mean, I got a 12. I have a 12-year-old, which is when she's in that. And trust me, my 12-year-old daughter, she's sometimes a bitch. Yeah, she's in the other rooms. So I won't say that too loud, but she's also not like dropping ecstasy pills and just like also blatantly like you know talking shit back to me.
I want to say about the when she found that gun, I thought this is not a show. I was so scared. The third season, of course, is what's freshest in my mind. So that's what I'm prepared to talk about. But when she found that gun, Dean, and I thought, this is surely not a show that's going to kill a kid, right? This is not going to be like a Scott from 90210.
And we had talked about that with Roby a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, that was after it had aired. So I was, but I was very glad that, I mean, shooting the hole in the wall was the perfect thing to happen in that show.
And that was fine. But what made me kind of upset about it afterwards was when he confronted her about it, she was just such a bitch back and was just like, well, if you didn't have a gun, I'll tell mom you had a gun. And she was there were so many moments where I felt that I don't disagree with her being a moody teen because that happens, but he kept putting himself out there and being so like nice back with her and things where I kept feeling eventually she's going to break from that and be really sweet. But like to me, it was like, you don't just then all like she was completely in the wrong with the gun thing. And he shouldn't even have to explain that he had like, I have a gun for self-defense and was such a bitch about it. I didn't care for that.
I think Dean, I could be wrong about this, so I don't want to be, you know, correct me, those who know, but aren't guns illegal in Australia or New Zealand or wherever? It's New Zealand, right?
Oh, well, then
so
I don't
isn't
know
it
gun
like
laws,
she's
so
kind of, yeah. So like we're accustomed to American gun laws, but you need to remember that in other countries, it's very different.
That's true.
And so I think her bratty behavior was a direct response in saying, not outwardly, because that's not what teenagers do, but basically saying, I'm sick of you being a criminal, dad, you know, and this is more evidence that you're a criminal.
I kind of wish that there would have been. So it, I believe, was it season two? Because I think it was the end, toward the end of season two, when the
brother,
the no, not the brother, but the friend dies, and then he has to, the like the friend he has working for the club who's like into drugs, and he puts his name out there for him, but he keeps getting into drugs, so he ends up having to kill him. But the guy like jumps off the cliff by himself before he has to kill him, and he ends up taking care of his daughter, but the daughter gets kidnapped from the store. Remember that part? So the daughter gets kidnapped from the store, and he like ends up going and saving her. And I mean, he goes and finds the people that have her like down, and it's like a 2 or 3 episode arc, and he finds them down in the basement, and they put all them down in the basement. He goes in there with the hammer and like smashes them all up. He should have. They were selling children. But yeah. I feel like I wanted her to realize that even though she knew he was a criminal, that at the end of it, he was good to her. Like that was the one good thing he always had to her. Mm-hmm. And actually that was another thing, is that I was so surprised throughout the thing. I kept waiting like, well, when is the shit going to hit his house? You know, like there was never once a threat to his daughter. There was never once a threat to his ex-wife. There was never even a threat to his own home. And I kind of found that strange as a show like this, where normally like you're this shitty of a dude and getting into with bad with all these people, like someone's coming for your personal life.
Well,
and
it really showed how well he led that dual life and kept those two parts of his life completely separate.
But bad people find other bad people. Here's really my biggest thing, is that apparently the police officers in Australia are really shitty, because this dude is just like, he's just killing people left and right, burying them wherever. He's walking down the street, punching people all the time, rarely gets caught. I mean, my man is just murdering.
Yeah, don't fuck with his ice cream.
And the Australian, oh yeah. And the Australian police are just nowhere to be found ever in this show.
Yeah, or New Zealand. Well,
I think they're in Australia. I think they're in Melbourne, right?
Maybe, yeah. Okay, that's right. Okay, so listen. That's right, it was Melbourne. Okay, so way to pick it all apart, Dean. I was about to say, like, do you think this is like a perfect show? I really found it to be a perfect show, start to finish. 3 nice, tight seasons. Really fun, just enjoyable to watch. I never dug that deep into it. I enjoyed it as a dark comedy, a 30-minute dark comedy is the way I interpreted the show.
Overall, I like I said, I never could not, you know, stop a next episode. I wanted to see the next episode every time. Uh-huh. Even the little things I'm picking apart, like you said, it may even be the fact that because I binged it all, I noticed such drastic, as in my eyes, drastic changes, whereas I wouldn't maybe notice that a year apart. And even those little things, they're nitpicky things. Like I said, Scott Ryan was amazing in it. I would love to see that character continue.
Same.
I think this guy, like I said, has a very Willem Dafoe. He looks just like the dude. As far as this guy could play a villain in any, like this guy could be a villain in a Marvel movie. This guy could be a villain in a big action movie, because he has, but a charming villain, you know, like in such a non-traditional way too. Because he's not, you know, he's not what you would consider a traditionally attractive man. He's not a, you know, gorgeous looking dude or anything like that. No, I mean, he's not that he's bad.
There's looking, something about him though.
But he's not Hollywood. No, he's looking. Not. He's like, it's that badass magnitude that he's manly, you know, and that's what I kind of liked about it. He was such a normal looking dude. He's such a normal guy, but it was just like when that smile turned on, you knew he was about to fuck somebody up. It didn't matter how much bigger the other person was, how much like stronger or faster the other person looked like. He just turns on and he's ready to go. So I like that idea. I do want to go back and watch that show, the movie, The Magician. Is that what it's called? Yeah, because I like that they did hint at that in like one of the last episodes. He goes and to ask someone to like help him with Freddy. And the guy's like, you know who that was? That was the magician. And
I wondered about that
a little bit more.
So that's a movie that he did.
And I think it's the same character, and that's what made them give him the show. I believe I remember Dustin talking about this on Radio Labyrinth, and he even said that it's very similar, like a lot of the stories from it or like scenes and stuff are almost very, like they took a lot of it and put it in the first season. So I'm sure it's a little, we would find it maybe a little repetitive or like, oh, we've already kind of seen this, but it makes me think that there is more of a story for this character. Sure. If they ever wanted to do it, if they ever wanted to find someone younger to do a prequel for it or something, I'd love to see the other adventures of the magician, you know, Mr. In-Between.
They talk about that in the Radio Labyrinth interview. You definitely need to listen to that. You'll enjoy it a lot. And they definitely address some of that. And I wondered about the magician. And is that an easy to find movie? Is that just out there or do I have to dig?
Couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you.
All right. Well, I will look for it and report back. Hope that you do as well.
When hay fever pollen invades your sinuses, brings runny nose, watery eyes, take Dristan. Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona. Yes, Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona. That is, Dristan helps you breathe free and easy, as if you were far away from pollen or allergy irritation. Yes, Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona. Helps dry, runny nose, itchy, watery eyes. You see, Dristan tablets shrink swollen, congested nasal and sinus passages, which cause runny nose and watery eyes. So you breathe free and easy fast. So when pollen invades your sinuses, causing hay fever miseries, don't wish you could be in sunny, dry Arizona. Just remember, Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona. Get Dristan decongestant tablets.
And we're back for Mike TV.
So, another show that while you were binging Mr. In Between, I was binging a show that recently came back to Netflix, just like 2 months ago for its second season. I believe season one was maybe a year, maybe even 2 years ago. And I don't know why I never got into it. People told me I'd like it. And sure enough, I do. And that is Black Summer.
They don't know what the hell is going on. They don't have a plan for us. Everything is falling apart.
I lost my daughter. I need to go to the stadium.
Get out of here. We gotta make hard decisions.
So you said you are not familiar with Black Summer when I asked you about it.
I don't feel that I've even heard of this.
Dean, let me tell you something. When you want a zombie fix that Walking Dead definitely does not give, Black Summer does. Black Summer is told right as a zombie breakout is occurring. I believe it's like in the somewhere, it's in Colorado, I believe. They're not in, because they make reference to Denver at some point in the show, but they never really say exactly where they are. And it's kind of just told in this real fast-paced first person. You see one person who's kind of running around. You're kind of seeing their POV until they get bit in turn, and then you're just kind of off with another character. Now, there are a couple of main characters who are through lines, but for the most part, not a lot of people make it through this thing. So it's very realistic in that way, I would say.
Oh, is this another show that Steph maybe interviewed Steph somebody for?
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, they did. I have not listened to that interview yet. Yeah. Okay.
Do we know who from that show they interviewed?
I believe it's Sears, who plays Sears. I can't think of his name.
It was like a Mason or...
I don't know his name. I don't know any of the actors' names on this show, but I tell you, I
thought
it
his character's name was like Mason or Mace or something like that.
Oh, Black. Mace. Okay, Mance or Mace.
Mance. Is that it? Mance?
Yeah.
Is there a guy named Mance?
Yeah, but not till the very end of season two. So that's.
But I think that's who they might have.
Because he, spoiler alert, he lives. So if there's a season three, he'll be in it.
Okay.
Him. He doesn't come along till the end of season two.
Okay.
Really, watch this show. It's so fast-paced, and it's just crazy. Crazy, the predicaments they get into and have to get out of. And, of course, how people start turning on each other right away.
Right.
Those who have guns and gas. Yeah, and the struggle there between good and evil people. Spoiler alert, most of them are evil as shit. Black Summer. Really, really good. highly recommend. So we'll move from Black Summer into a show we're both watching on HBO, White Lotus.
Yes, you turned me. I had not even heard of this show, and you texted me about it. And I think by then there were already two or three episodes out, and I watched all three in one night. Stayed up. I mean, once I started, I could not stop.
The goal is to disappear behind our masks as pleasant, interchangeable helpers. It's tropical kabuki.
Aloha. A happy beer.
We're on our honeymoon.
You're such valued guests. Welcome to the White Lotus.
This is my show. I love this. This might be my favorite show on right now. God.
Okay. I have my mom watching this show.
Oh, no. Your mom watches the worst show.
But after this last episode, I was like, I'm so sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry. Really not. Like,
people are doing that to each other.
It's really not her cup of tea. I was like, she gives me some pornography. I was like, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Oh, and she wasn't upset the first 3 minutes into the show when Steve Zahn is holding his balls and cock in his hand. And
she absolutely was. She absolutely was. And I had to explain that this is what HBO does now because of all the years. Of all the breasts they've shown over all the years, now they're just making it good by saying, you know, but my mom's like, well, nobody wants to see that. And I was like, I agree, but they're just making it equitable. It's equitable airtime for all.
I would have to say that there really isn't a ton of just gratuitous nudity in this show, like some HBO shows, like even the latest episode?
Testicular cancer.
But it had a practical purpose and it was comical. Even then, this last scene, you don't see any genitalia. Yes, you see his face and the dude's ass, but I mean, that's comedy too. In fact, if anything, it's just the really gratuitous was just the when they show the wife's breasts.
That was artistic in my mind.
Sure,
right. So beautiful.
Listen,
listen, whether you are straight or gay, I don't think there is a person alive who cannot talk about how beautiful that woman is. What is her name? Deandra Dardario?
DeGregorio. Doesn't she do the roofs for WSB or something, or Watershed or something?
She's just classically beautiful. So no, she's very beautiful. I didn't find the nudity with her.
I'm surprised they haven't showed the daughter naked yet because she was naked over and over in Euphoria. I'm just hoping Connie Britton gets naked at some point. That's really the only reason I'm there. She's so beautiful.
Connie Britton is killing it. She's fabulous. Oh,
everyone in the show is. I mean, her Steve Zahn. Are you kidding me? Steve Zahn is
that Mark?
Destroying the show. The husband, like the main. Yeah. He is so good.
Well, even the show itself, the colors, the visuals of Hawaii, the music is incredible. You know, I love music in a show, and they are, and this is unmistakably noticeable music to set the tone, this Hawaiian ethereal drum beat, and then into just almost like spiritual music.
It becomes almost like, in fact, I think they do a really weird job, or not weird, but a good job of it's becoming almost like African jungle throughout, and I think you really hear those drums and things, you know, whenever somebody starts becoming almost animalistic or complete, like, you know, as Murray starts saying, uninhibited lately, the drums pick up and you hear like the monkey sounds in the background and the birds and stuff, and all of a sudden your heart is racing just watching it because you know, oh shit, something's about to happen.
Well, and for those who don't know, the premise is set at the very beginning that a murder has happened in Hawaii at this hotel called the White Lotus. And then we're thrust back 2 weeks earlier to see how the murder unfolded.
We don't necessarily know it is a murder. It says it starts off with this young man who we will find out is
played by Jack Lacey.
And he is at Plop. And he's at the airport, and this old couple starts talking to him, and they hear, "Oh, I heard someone died at the White Lotus," and he's just like, "Yeah," and finally just leave me the fuck alone. He walks up, says he was on his honeymoon. They ask where his wife is. He tells him to leave him the fuck alone. So he goes to see the window, and you see a casket or a box being lifted. So it implies that it's his wife that's in the casket.
I don't think it is. It could be anybody.
I think it could be anybody. I don't think it could be the. I mean, it potentially could be literally anyone right now.
Why would he be so upset then? If it was,
he didn't seem upset. That's the thing. He seems pissed off, like he always is. But to me, like he didn't seem upset, like sad. He seems pissed off.
He's doing a great job.
Oh, he's fantastic. But as frustrated he's getting because he didn't get this damn honeymoon or whatever it is. Yeah.
Stupid. Oh, he's the worst.
But at the airport, he seems more mad than he seems sad, and like, he doesn't seem sad in any way, shape, or form to me. So I'm thinking his wife leaves him. I don't think it's the wife. I 100% don't think it's the wife. It could be the mom. Now that the mom has shown up,
played by Molly Shannon, so great.
Yes, potentially it could be. I mean, you got to think, even if like it's Jennifer Coolidge, for example, he would be pissed that it's her because she kind of was one of the reasons to ruin his room. It could be Murray because
let's just talk about Jennifer Coolidge for just a minute. Tanya. She is my favorite. She's so weird and She's always been constantly drunk.
I feel like this is a little bit of like what she's the characterization. She is a little bit more of a stereotype of herself, you know, like lately. Yeah.
Okay. This is like from too much plastic surgery and shit, clearly, right?
That, and I think she's like constantly supposed to be like drunk. I mean, because she is like pressed because of her mom or whatever, and she is just really messed up in general.
Yeah. That boat scene, though, when she started throwing the ashes. Oh. I mean, she's heartbreaking and
hilarious,
but, and now she's met this man, this, you know, BLM.
Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, baby.
Yes. And he's from the BLM, you know,
yeah.
the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. I loved it. I thought they were adorable. I really love Belinda too, but I do worry that Belinda's not going to get that business deal. So, I love Armand. He is all, despite the fact that he, has definitely fallen off the wagon.
Oh man, he's the best character on there.
He is absolutely the best.
When Steve Zahn's going through his life crisis after he finds out his dad's gay, and he just, you know, what do you think? What does it feel? Yeah. You're gay, right? What does it feel like to get fucked in the ass? You want to find out?
Well, he does that. That actor is so good. He does this so subtle, like, you want to find
the
out.
The little laugh. And then the next day when he's like subtly hitting on him throughout the day and stuff, because he doesn't really remember the night either. He just thinks that he was hitting on him.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, when he's like rubbing his shoulders. So anyway, then we haven't even talked about the Mean Girls and what the hell is going on there with this girl who can't stand the fact that her friend wants to fuck some guy on the island. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, the Mean Girls drive me bananas. I love them. I like the fact that they're there, but I hate them. I like the
interactions between them and Connie Britton and Steve Zahn, the parents, only because it does show it's making fun of the whole, you know, old liberals versus new liberals, you know, who's the wokest concept of type of thing. And it shows even how like old people who are very progressive are still also just as annoyed with young wokes as anybody else.
Well, I know this is intended to be a limited series, so.
Do we know how many episodes it is?
I believe it's only six. So wait, what are we on? We're on five airs tonight. So I believe
five episodes left
here as we record. So do you have any predictions? And if you don't think that it's Rachel, I believe Rachel is the wife's name. So we've got the cast of characters. We've got Shane and Rachel, the newlyweds, with now Shane's mother, Kitty, has arrived. We've got Armand, the hotel manager, the fantastic Armand, as well as a whole cast of characters in the staff of the hotel, including Belinda, the spa manager, who's also delightful. And then we have Tanya, who's played by Jennifer Coolidge, the crazy lady who wants to scatter her deceased mother's ashes, but can't even open the box to do it. Oh my God. When she was on the boat and she was like, I just want you to open the box. I lost it. Her with that box of ashes. I thought we were going to have a Big Lebowski moment.
I did too.
Blowing back on her.
Well, I thought it was going to blow back on Shane for sure. Like, because he was so already pissed off already. I thought for sure it was going to go right in his face.
I would have loved that. Anyway, and then we've got the family, Mark and Nicole and their kids, Olivia and Quinn, and Olivia's friend, Paula. So who dies? Who's the killer? What's your predictions?
Probably the safest bet is that Rachel kills the mom, that the wife kills the mom.
Okay. And gets away. And that's what's
happening. No, not necessarily. I don't know. See, that's... I don't know. I don't think anyone, I don't think it's necessarily a murder. I really don't think it's a murder because this show is not coming out to be like, no one seems nefarious. You know, everyone's fucked up for sure. Mm-hmm. And everyone has terrible mental and, you know, personal issues, but nobody seems like they're a killer. So there may be a complete incidental murder. Like, I don't think anyone's going to kill anybody in cold blood.
Oh yeah. Not cold anything blood. Like that. Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. It's there's going to be some set of circumstances, unpredictable, my guess, where we won't be able to figure that out.
I think it might even be like a comical or accidental death.
As comical as deaths get.
I mean, as far as this show, I feel like a fairly straightforward accidental death will be played for comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And now I gotta believe this kid that Armand was having sex with. I call him a kid. He's not a kid. Okay, that's bad.
Dylan.
Words. Dylan, thank you. This young man that he you know, just couldn't get off his mind, wanted to see him naked. They were doing ketamine, or what is that shit they were snorting?
Yeah, ketamine, yeah.
I gotta believe now he's gonna use that to his advantage.
Yeah, well, I still get the feeling, and now that I've thought about this, I think the dead body, I think it's someone's gonna commit suicide. Unfortunately, they're gonna go dark at the end of this, and I think someone's gonna commit suicide. At first, I thought it was going to be Quinn. They seemed like they were bullying him to the point, but he seems to be almost like, you know, he's sleeping out on the beach and he's finding like the whale. And now he's like making friends with these like kayakers that he wants to be a part of. And he seems to almost be opening up.
Yeah.
I could see the daughter being, again, for some reason, so mad because her friend, I'm wondering if she's gay and she has, you know, a thing for the friend, and now she's mad because she's hooking up with someone. I could see Steve's on going off the deep end. There's a lot of people I could see it if it goes the dark way. Mm-hmm. But like you said, clearly Shane must, he's connected enough when he's looking out and seeing that box coming up. He looks, like I said, he looks pissed and almost just like, you fucking ruined my life type of thing. So it could be the wife, it could be the mom, it could be Armand. He's just mad about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he blames the mess up of the rooms on his life just falling apart.
Could there be a chance that there's multiple deaths and we're only seeing the first of many coffins about to be loaded on that plane? And somehow, I don't know, pisses me off if Shane's character makes it out alive, because he's the worst. If anybody deserves to have an accidental death, it's his character. I don't know. I have no predictions for this show. You're right. I think that it is going to subvert our expectations and not
for sure. Like you said, the fact that even that he's the person we start off on, and even though he is an asshole in the airport, you kind of like, almost for a minute feel like, well, obviously he's being like this because whoever is dead, like he's being affected by it. But then the first time we see him, I mean, he's just right off the bat, such an asshole. You're like, oh, this isn't like the good guy of the show. You know, like we kind of go in thinking, oh, this must be the protagonist. This must be the main character of the show. And he's so unlikable.
Yeah.
To where it's just where I kind of like that they are already your expectations for the end is, so wait, we're going to end with just, this is the dude at the end that we're like with at the end, you know,
this is
who we had to fall back on. We know no matter how shitty this guy becomes, he's going to be there at the end, or at least as far as we think. So yeah, I'm curious to see where they go with this.
Very curious. Well, all right. Unless you have anything else to say about White Lotus, we can move on to a couple of Apple TV shows that we want to highlight here before we wrap up. One that you told me I should start watching, and I have, and I think I've even pulled ahead of you now. All 10 episodes have aired, but I am only on episode 8, And that is called a show called Physical.
You ready to do this thing?
Now you've done it. She sees what a mess you are.
Actually, I feel better than I have been in a long time.
Where are you going?
Out.
I've been doing aerobics classes. You should try it. You might like it.
And after just one class, you can feel it happening. You becoming you again.
How long can we afford to live off our savings? We all got to do our part.
And by we, he means you.
I like it, question mark. It is a dark subject.
Yeah.
It is hard to say I enjoy watching a show about a woman who is suffering terribly for decades, perhaps, with bulimia. Right. Even though it's, again, played for laughs and mostly a comedy, a very dark comedy, and the actors, again, once again, quality show, the actors are killing it, the set design, the 80s, all of it, the introduction of kind of the home video, you know, mm-hmm. the phenomenon that was in the early 80s, all of that's wonderful. The home workout video, I should say. I don't know, man. I understand it's got to happen to make the bulimia understandable, but I hate the inner monologue. I just can't stand it.
Just her constantly like calling herself a piece of shit and all this
stuff.
Yeah,
just any inner monologue in general in a show is usually not my favorite. And I know it's necessary in this show. I get it. But yeah, I really dislike it.
It's one of those things where, in fact, actually, we didn't talk about this with White Lotus. But I get that feeling sometimes with White Lotus when Steve Zahn is particularly talking about their marriage and having sex with his wife and all this stuff. Like, it's TV shows are starting to be very, very, very just like, hey, let's just put it out there that people don't talk about. Like, these are feelings and these are issues that I think a lot of people personally deal with and don't talk about. And it's can be played for comedy, but it also becomes very uncomfortable or can be very uncomfortable because I think these feelings can be very personal. I mean, I know I'll be perfectly honest with you, my wife, when she was younger, had issues with this. And when we watched this, the very first episode, she's like, oh yeah. She's like, I've felt like that before. Like I've talked to myself like that. And I even kind of am like, well, shit. Like, I mean, you don't take it that far, but like, I feel like a lot of people talk to themselves like that sometimes, even with just not as serious things, but it's just as serious as far as like putting themselves down or like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? You know, whether it's an eating disorder or alcohol addiction or any kind of addiction or potentially, you know, problematic behavioral issues. I think so many people have issues with things that may be really serious, maybe not as serious, but I think a lot of us have that feeling of sometimes like, what the fuck am I doing right now? I know I shouldn't be doing this, but like, I really want to eat this right now and fuck you for having this third piece of cake or something, you know, something like that. I think even people without the issues still sometimes talk to themselves like that in their head. And yeah, I can see how it can be very uncomfortable a little close to home sometimes when people are hearing that. But I think the show overall, I like that she seems to be battling through that. She seems to be standing up more and more to people. And at the time period it's in, obviously, is a time when women were, you know, starting to break out of their shell, and the fact that she's finding something that helps her break out is great. I think it does have a lot of parallels. You think of even someone like Jane Fonda, who was so famous for workout. I mean, she was known. I mean, that's one thing she's talked about for years is her bulimia and things like that, you know,
that
she dealt with. So I think there might be a little, maybe, I'm not sure how much this might be based off like even a, you know, just not even her life, but just based off her personality or that story. Some of the side characters in this I absolutely love. The surfer guys, you know, the film director, he's fantastic. Bunny is great.
Where have I seen that actress before?
I don't know, but I'm again, you're a couple episodes ahead of me, but I'm very interested to see where her whole like Black Widow Russian ties come from, because she might seem like she's a spy or something. But I love the surfer dudes. I know that is that for sure is the big black surfer dude. I know he is someone that Steph and them interviewed recently in Radio Labyrinth. So we just happen to be talking about a lot of these shows they've put people up on lately. But there's a lot of great characters in this. There are some great moments of comedy, but also great I mean, big moments of emotion and
for sure
borderline serious cringe and stuff, that kind of stuff too. Yeah, very good.
And Rose Byrne has perhaps the best hair of all time. Is that her real hair or is she wearing a wig? Forgive me for not knowing.
I mean, is her hair probably could rock that hair, but yeah. I got to assume it's probably a wig. It's TV. Just nowadays, I feel like pretty much everything's a wig.
Yeah, it's the hair I always dreamed of having. And
oh, yeah.
No perm can, you know, no matter what they tell you on a box or in a salon or anything. No perm can create that hair. You either got it or you don't. It is just beautiful. It's gorgeous. All right. Well, yeah. So have you gotten to the one where they go up to their friend's house to try to raise money? They're up at the
Yeah, that's the one the last one I've watched. Yeah.
And then they have to listen to them having sex.
Uh-huh.
that was actually pretty good. And I believe that actress, God, I know I've seen her in stuff before, that played the pregnant friend.
Oh, right.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, I think she's been in, but many things, I'm sure. Well, anyway, I'm going to definitely finish it and stay. It's been renewed for a season 2. That show's already gotten the pickup. So, yeah, I'm going to stay with it. I enjoy the higher moments over the lower moments, I'll say that. And I can't wait for her to leave her husband because he sucks. And his campaign manager, Jerry, is the fucking worst. Every time she tells that guy off, I cheer a little in my head, but I just kind of just wish she'd slap him upside the head and kick him out of her house. I mean, right. She really is just a doormat. So I'm ready for her to get her groove on or whatever it is. So it's been a little slow getting there, and I definitely don't need to see her order any more burgers and shakes and go to a hotel and get naked. I just don't need to see it. So weird. Yeah. This is not only a show, and forgive me, and I don't want to be insensitive about it. It is a very serious thing. But it's almost like, and you'll see this in episode 8, and I think you already have seen it, because you've seen what the her fellow PTA lady,
she's gonna shave her head, right?
Yeah. So yeah. So this is not only a show about the eating disorder, but also about fetishes, I would say.
Yeah, weird fetishes.
Weird fetishes. Yeah. That one I don't even get. And I finally was just like, all right, enough. So yeah. it's a little, but it's fine. Now, a show that I'm enjoying way more on Apple TV. Ooh, 3 episodes have dropped so far. And it's like every Friday. I yes. cannot wait to finish work. It's the first thing I do on Friday. And that is go straight to Apple TV and watch Ted Lasso.
Oh, my God.
Oh, is that him? Come on.
Yes. Okay.
Hey, him who?
Season 2. Has you're been finally,
you're finally thinking about going back to those 2020 rankings.
Oh boy. Okay. I already said I will squeeze it in there somewhere in the top 5. It for sure is in the top 5. Now we'll see where this season, how this season wraps. But I've loved what they've done with it so far. They've really focused on some character moments, you know, really building up some more of the characters, like with Soccer's Life in episode 1, Danny, with the dog and everything.
Oh,
it was just such a great way to open the season, and leading into a really
how do you like Dr. Sharon Fieldstone?
Love Dr. Sharon Fieldstone. I have never laughed so hard than when Ted said, I think she keeps getting closer and closer to me. And sure enough, she was one of the best played for gags, straight up laugh, but it was perfect. And she is wonderful. She's absolutely wonderful. So I can't wait to see when she finally does get Ted in her chair. We know it's coming, right? It's got to be coming. But I loved the Roy, episode 2 focused on Roy and Jamie Tart. And I loved all of that. And then I loved seeing episode 3 with Sam. Getting some, you know, some really good Sam moments. So we're just really building these characters, and they just keep getting better and better. You say all the moments, because I know you know. You've probably watched them multiple times already.
Just a couple. Yeah, I again, Ted Lasso, even with some of the darker and sadder moments, is still just overall such a positive show. Like, you can't watch it without feeling good afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I like that they're challenging Ted Lasso's philosophy this year with the input of the sports psychologist.
Led Tasso, don't forget about
the fact that he's even just so naturally against psychology and therapists because of his marriage, counseling that he must have went through. But the idea that even when she tells him that, you know, you have a very positive program, everybody here actually cares about each other and they speak positively, you know, it's a great relationship. And he gives, I guess we have one of those ain't broke, don't fix it moment or situation. She goes, well, it just depends. Does everyone here feel that it's not broke if you haven't won a game, you know, if you're 8 straight draws? And I think that's where we're getting here. And we saw that at the end of the last season where Beard even gets mad at him because he thinks, you know, he keeps trying to say, like, winning's not the most important thing. It's about building these young men. And we're starting to find out that no, in professional sports, especially at this high level, winning matters and not winning has consequences. And we're seeing that, yes, you can build these young men and build these guys, these characters, but he still has, it's not, you know, he's not just perfect because he's a positive guy. We're actually seeing the fact that Ted isn't just fixing everything. He can fix some right. things, but there are still limitations to what he can do. So I like to see that now we're building on him. Led Tasso coming in to be the bad cop, as if he goes into some kind of psychic trance. I love when Beard has to like clap him out of it.
How long was I out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's great. Jason Sudeikis, absolutely phenomenal. Just killing it again this year. All of them are. But Roy Kent.
Roy Kent coaching those 9-year-old girls is, I think, my favorite.
Well, Roy Kent being a sports anchor is my favorite. He's so salty with those other three guys. I mean,
yes.
If SportsCenter were like that, I would be watching it all the time. It is the best. The best.
Yes. I love watching him yell at the girls. I love that Keeley's kink is him crying, doing his crying retirement speech.
I know this was a time jump from season one to season two. So they got relegated at the end of season one. And then into season two, they're already, what, like 7 games in or whatever of this in the championship league instead of the Premier League and learning soccer. I'm learning so much about soccer, Dean. And they Roy since then has retired and gone on to just coach mm-hmm. Little League with his niece, Phoebe, who's just so adorable. And I know we've been listening to post show recaps and they happen to just say a lot of things that I think. So they do a great Ted Lasso recap. So if we're not giving you enough Ted Lasso talk, definitely go over there and listen to Josh Wigler and Antonio Mazzaro. They said, are we going to get to see Roy's goodbye speech or whatever, mm-hmm. retirement speech? And I thought the same thing. I was like, wait a second. Roy retired and there was this dramatic speech that they're all talking about in the first episode, and we're not even going to get to see it. And we get to see just a little bit of it on Keeley's phone, rather. Is that enough? Are we going to get more of it, Dean? I personally still want more.
I think that's kind of it. I think it's just the fact that he was – I don't think there really is – the way they played it, I think they could have went to the idea mm-hmm. that there's a really huge, ridiculous thing. But it makes sense that it was just like – it's really not that big of a deal. It's the fact that he was just crying as he said he wanted emotional. To retire. And to him, it's a huge deal. But to everyone else, it was moving. And like, you know, the one guy says to him in the first episode, like, made my racist, like, or what he's like, basically like his father, the guy says something to him, basically like he implies that his father is like a huge racist. They haven't talked together to each other in years. And like that made him reach out to him because of that or something like that. Like, yeah, it's just, I think it was just the fact that he got emotional. In fact, kind of a funny meta moment this weekend, Lionel Messi, who's one of the world's greatest soccer players, is leaving his team that he's played for years. He's not renewing his contract, and he had a press conference yesterday or the day this past couple of days, And he kind of was tearing up while he's saying he's not going to renew and how, you know, much thankful he was and all this stuff. And, God dang, I can't remember, Roy Kent, the actor, he tweeted, you know, I've been there before, brother, you know, and like basically just saying that because we just saw this video of him. And I thought that was perfect. I think that's really all it is. It's like, you know, I think they could have played it as this big, ridiculous press conference, but I think that's really all it is. I think it's just the fact that he got emotional. And to him, he thinks people seeing him like that is the most embarrassing, you know, ridiculous thing ever. Mm-hmm. But really, it's just like everyone else sees it as super truthful and honest and heartfelt, and they make him love him even more. And of course, it's Roy Kent doesn't see things like that.
Yeah. Roy Kent's the best. He really is just one of the best. And really glad to see the return of Jamie Tart.
Yeah, you know, that actor, in fact, I should have already looked him up by the time I was even talking about him, but he's one of the writers of the show. Yeah,
he is.
Emmy-nominated, too. Yeah. Yeah, well, everyone on the show apparently is Emmy-nominated.
Well-deserved.
Yes.
Brett something is his name, I think.
Is it? Is Brett or Bert? It's something like that. And I think it's like Gold something, maybe.
Brett Goldstein. That's it.
There it is. Brett Goldstein. Yeah. Yeah. He's one of the writers too. Do you think, Ted and Rebecca will ever get together?
Well, you know, again, I loved this. We saw the return of Sassy. I'm going to answer this question in a roundabout way, like I always do. We saw the return of Sassy in episode 3, and Sassy, who Ted classically had a one-night stand with last season, who is Rebecca's best friend.
Yes.
And again, going back to post-show recaps, they were saying that they didn't think Rebecca knew about that. Well, this episode made it clear that Rebecca clearly did know about it and has zero problem with
it. When she asked, does he talk like that the whole time? She goes, yes.
Yes.
And then she goes, it was so amazing. That's what I love, is that he's still apparently just like, she's just so enamored with, like, or not even necessarily enamored with him, but she just acknowledges that he was amazing in bed.
So I really don't think Ted is going to end up with Rebecca. I think they're going to just continue to have this awesome friendship, and Ted could end up with Sassy. I think Sassy appreciates Ted for who he is. I mean, Rebecca does too, but, and there is nothing better. Once again, I keep saying Roy's my favorite, you know, but I forget Higgins in the desk situation that he's had to deal with is so hilarious. Every time a pencil cup gets knocked over, Higgins dies a little more inside. It's just,
it is funny how well this show makes like some of the lamest jokes funny every time.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the, you know, 90% of the jokes in the show are dad jokes.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
Like what and every Ted Lasso joke is a corny dad joke, and he just delivers them so well. Yeah, Higgins just absolutely hilarious no matter what he's doing. Even Roy just, you know, talking about how he's going to go home. And I heard that they said if you butterfly the chicken, leaves it more moist and all this stuff. Just absolutely ridiculous.
It's almost like every word that comes out of their mouths is just funny now. But even if they're not even trying to deliver it for laughs, it just will make you laugh just because of these characters. I know it is just, it's heartwarming. It's wonderful. I can't wait to get other people to watch it. I've tried to get my boss to watch it. Hopefully she's watched it by now. I've tried to get my mom to watch it. She can't figure out how to get Apple TV on her Amazon Fire Stick. So I'm going up there next week. You know, we'll see. Maybe I will be able to do it. If anybody knows if there's some secret to get Apple TV on an Amazon Fire Stick, let me know.
That's what I do it on. No, I don't know any secrets.
She can't find
it. You download the Apple TV
She can't find it, Dean. So I was like, look, if you could just download the app, you could sign in with mine. You'll be well on your way. Mosquito Coast, Morning Show.
Have you watched any of those other new shows, Schmigadoon or
Mr. Corman is next on my list. As soon as I finish Physical, I will be watching Mr. Corman. And I do want to watch Schmigadoon, too. Yeah. Apple TV, I'm telling you, quality television. People... It is $4.99 a month. There is zero reason not to get Apple TV.
And Schmigadoon is Michael Keegan Key and Cicely Strong. Cicely Strong, is that her name from SNL?
I think so.
And it's like a musical, right? They're trapped in a musical or something like that. And then Mr. Corman is Robin.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And he's just like a teacher who could have been better. I don't want to watch that show because I feel like it's going to make me hate my life more since I'm a teacher and I'm just going to like, oh, I also regret being a teacher.
No, I believe, oh God, I hope I'm not wrong on this because I know they did Lisey's Song also, Apple TV. And that I know is a Stephen King. Mm-hmm. I believe Stephen King even wrote some of the show for that. And no, not directed, but maybe wrote some of the screenplays. But is Mr. Corman also a Stephen King
adaptation? No, I don't think so. I didn't think it was like a dark show.
Not dark, fantastical.
Oh, man.
Fantastical elements to it. I do know that. I don't know. Well, I will check. I'll dip into that show. I'll dip in and let you know. And I still want to go back to Mythic Quest. I know you loved it. And I know that's coming back for more. For All Mankind. There's a lot of shows on Apple TV and more coming. So, well, what else do we want to say about Ted Lasso? Because my gosh, I could talk forever about that show. I mean, there's just so many funny moments, but I mean, I think what everybody needs to understand, everybody listening to our voices right now, is that football is life. Football is death. Football is football.
But mostly
football is life.
Mostly football is life, unless you kill a cartoon dog in your sleep and get splattered with blood. But luckily, you'll still wake up with two beautiful women in your bed. I think that was my favorite part of that, is that he wakes up screaming with the two naked women in his bed.
Mine was when he was in the shower and saying the prayer over and over again. But Dr. Sharon, I hope she sticks around. She is a welcome addition. She's absolutely wonderful. What's not to love about her?
Yeah, I'm curious to finally see. We've yet to actually see anyone in her office. I want to see how her methods are, because she seems very cold and calculated. But I also like the idea that she also seems to just like let people work their own. In fact, I almost feel like, if we ever see inside her office, she almost doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
Like she just lets people talk.
Well, that's what Jamie said. Like,
I love that.
So I think that if we talk.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that. I think if we get anything, it's going to be Jamie sessions, which I'm totally here for. 100%.
But even when Ted sat down for a minute and he just goes on and on, she was, interesting. This is what you, and like, let him basically do it all. Mm-hmm. I loved when she finally says Prince of Tides and, oh, is that your nickname for me?
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Sharon, never change. Well, Dean, what else do we want to say? You have any other shows you want to talk about, or should we wrap up here?
This Is Pop on Netflix. Oh. It's been a little docuseries I've been watching, which I find really interesting. It's just like six or eight episodes, and they're 50 minutes, hour long, and they're about like random pop moments in time. There's one that's all about like the Boys to Men kind of like pop moment.
So pop music.
Yeah, pop think? Music. Okay. The one about all about Boys to Men. There's one all about like Sweden and how they've like shaped a lot of pop music. Obviously, ABBA's from Sweden, but then like there's some producers there that produced like half of the 90s, boy bands and girl bands. There's a whole one on Britpop when it's basically the Oasis first Blur from like 1996 or whenever it was, when they had like a single coming out at the same time, which is really cool. There's one all about like country going pop and all this stuff. So it's pretty good. Most of them are, there's a couple of them. Like I said, there's six or eight of them. Even the worst ones are entertaining enough or informative enough. If you're interested in music and especially, just like well-made documentaries, they're all pretty well made. So, This Is Pop on Netflix. I've been watching. I like that.
Sweet. Well, all right, Dean, I think we could wrap it up here. Appreciate your time. And always, as always, talking TV with you is just so much fun. let's tell everybody how they can get in touch with us, even though nobody is. So please, please, yeah, everybody.
Find Lisa on Twitter at MikeTV1. You can find me on Twitter at Rockdale_Tiger. You can email us at MikeTV@Gmail. No, MikeTV1@Gmail. MikeTV_Mike Lisa, what's the email address?
That email address in the show notes also, by the way, if you don't have pen and paper ready to write it down, is MikeTVPodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, I got close. But yeah, hit us up. Let us know what shows you're watching, what you're into, what you would like us to talk about, and we'll hit it up. If you email us, we will talk about it, guaranteed.
That's so right.
Yeah.
Well, all right, everybody. Thank you again. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Dean. And until next time, please remember to
keep it
thorough. Soccer is life, and soccer is also death. And sometimes soccer is just soccer. Or football. I'm saying it all wrong, Dean. Cut this out, Roby.
I was letting you go. I just figured you were Americanizing it up.
I was putting my own twang on it.